I'm going to make another plug for the Christmas choir. Some of the songs we sing during the Christmas season are ones that we sang first with the Christmas choir, right? So it's kind of like if you're part of that Christmas choir, you get, what is it, early entry into, you know, see, it's like there's a bonus there. So think about that. Understanding the Signs, that's our title today. Our text is Luke 21, 25 to 36. As I mentioned, this is the first Sunday of Advent. And Advent, of course, is we think about the arrival, the coming of someone, in particular during the season of Advent in the church. It's the coming of Jesus, the coming of Christ. And we think about his as he comes the first time, as he came as a baby, as he grew up, as he lived his life and died for us. We think about just anticipating that as the people were anticipating his arrival. And now we know what happened during that time. We now look forward to his second coming, for his return, second advent, as he comes again. And the focus during the season of Advent is really on that, because that's what we are looking forward to. Even as we look back on the anticipation that the people had waiting for the Messiah to come the first time, we still, even in that, are looking forward to him coming again. And today, that's really the main focus in our text today. The context of our text here is just a few days before Jesus died. He was at the temple, he was teaching at the temple, and then he also spent some time across the valley at the Mount of Olives, where you could have a good, clear picture of the temple as well. And he was teaching his disciples from that position, from that place. And as he was doing that, some of his disciples commented about the beauty of the temple. Look at these magnificent stones that went into building the temple. It had been rebuilt after Solomon's temple had been destroyed. The people were carried into exile. They came back. It had been rebuilt. Not very great, but during the time just before Jesus, King Herod had restored that temple, kind of made it, added to it in a way that just made it beautiful. And the disciples were pointing that out. Look at this temple that we get to have to worship God. And Jesus said, this whole temple is going to be destroyed. Every stone of it will be thrown down. Now, you can imagine the turmoil, the shock to the disciples that this would be. This is the symbol of worshiping God. How is this going to be destroyed? Destroyed again, really. And so they asked him, when will this happen? What will be the sign that this will take place? And Jesus, so thinking about that, you know, this is a really concerning news. Is there any hope? Is there any hope in this? Can they find out? Jesus said, well, first of all, watch out. His first warning was a warning that kind of extends to us as well. Watch out. There will be many who will come who will claim to be me, Jesus says, that will say, I am he. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. He said, don't be frightened by these things. The end is not yet, but it will arrive. And then he says, there will be wars, there will be natural disasters. But then he points to the disciples themselves. He says, but first, something is going to impact you directly. Persecutions. And in the midst of this, though, stand firm. Don't worry about what will happen to you. God will guide you through it. Now, that in particular was for the disciples specifically, but it does extend to anyone who is in a situation where they are at risk, where there might be persecution. It's an encouragement to stand firm. God will guide you through it. And then he gets to, as we get to prophecy, because Jesus gets to then telling a little bit more about what will happen in the future. And Luke kind of makes it a little bit clear as he's writing this what his words point to, whether the near future or the far future. The other disciples, that as they write these in Matthew and Mark, it's not quite as clear there. And the reality is that we look at prophecy of the future, we think about in the Old Testament, we see a lot of that. In the New Testament, there's only a little bit. Jesus says some here. But as we think about that prophecy, it's like looking at a two-dimensional picture of a three-dimensional view. So you might think of looking at the mountains, and you might see in the foreground, you might see some low hills, and then some taller foothills in the back, and then you get to the mountains at the very back. But as you look at that in two dimensions, it's kind of flat, and you're looking at the whole thing at the same time. And as the prophets, and even as Jesus speaks here, would talk about what would come in the future, it's kind of like sometimes taking things off all of those levels at the same time. They're looking at one picture. And so some of it is for the distant future, some of it is for the near future. And Jesus here, as he talks about what's going to happen, he first addresses Jerusalem itself and its destruction, which was very near, well, you know, within about 40 years probably of the time that Jesus is talking to them. He says that it's when it's surrounded, the tendency is if you're in the neighboring area around a city, if it's being surrounded, you go inside for protection. He said, don't do that. Don't do that. Flee to the mountains because it's going to be destroyed. And really, the Christians did that. They listened to Jesus' warning. And when Jerusalem was destroyed in A.D. 70, many of the Christians were out because they had listened to Jesus' warning about that. And then, but then Jesus, that's the destruction of the temple of Jerusalem. But then he turns now to the end. And this is something, you know, that Jerusalem was destroyed. It didn't impact us. You know, that's not something that impacts us right now. But as we think about events going on in our world, as we turn towards looking towards the end of time, what is that going to look like? We might have a similar concern as the disciples as they were thinking about the destruction of Jerusalem. When will this happen? What will be the sign that this is near? And how, really, this is concerning. How bad is this going to be? How bad is it going to get before the end? Is there any hope in all of this? Can we have hope? In light of whatever we see going on around us in the world. And that's where Jesus takes us in our text today. So our text is Luke 21, verses 25 to 36. I'll invite you to stand as I read that this morning. Luke 21, 25 to 36, reading in Jesus' name. There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming in the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. He told them this parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day that you have given us. We thank you for the hope of the future, looking forward to Christ coming again. And as we look at all that is around us, as we consider what our text has to say to us today about that, I ask that you would guide us and guide us to your truth and to your hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'll ask any of the kids that would like to come up to the front. All right, come on up. Anybody else? Okay. All right. Okay. Well, looks like we got everybody. Okay. What temperature is it outside right now?
Chilly.
All right. Good. Any other ways of describing it?
Freezing. Very
high chance of snowing. Okay. All right. Oh, because it is snowing. Did you see a little bit out there? All right. Yeah, if you see it out there, I once had a forecast of 0% chance of rain, and I looked out the window and it was raining. I thought, well, I won't trust that forecast again. But yeah, when you look out the window and you see things happening, that's a pretty good sign that you know what's going on, right? Do you think there was any indication that it was going to be cold? Look at the trees around you. You can actually see some of them out of the windows here, right? What happened to the trees before it got cold? The leaves fell.
They changed color.
They changed color. That's kind of fun to look at, isn't it? They change color, and then they fall down off the trees, and when we see that, what do we know is happening? It's fall, right? And what comes after fall?
Winter.
Do you guys like winter?
Yeah.
Yeah? Oh, good. You do? Do you like playing in the snow?
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of fun.
A snow fort?
Oh, that's good. Yeah. It's fun to do that, isn't it? I like playing in the snow. I don't like anything else in the cold. If it's time to play, that's great. Otherwise, I'd rather it not be cold. But here's what I'm getting at today. So you see things happening around you, and you know that something's coming, right? As we get through winter, what's going to tell us that it's going to be springtime and summertime? What are some ways that we'll know?
Yeah. Starts melting and buds.
Yeah, it gets a little bit warmer, the snow is melting, we get buds on the trees, right? They're growing, we get some leaves coming out. Jesus said in our text today, he was talking about that, how the leaves come out on the trees, and we know that summer is coming. And he says to watch what's going on around us and to know that he is coming back again. You know what? Do we know exactly when Jesus will come back again? We don't. And you know what? We won't ever know exactly when until really when he gets here. But he said there are signs around. Watch. If things are going bad in the world, just remember, that tells us that Jesus is coming again. And we can understand that and believe that. Well, our printer was going goofy this morning. It's not functioning, so I don't have anything for you. But there might be some extra paper, and what I'd like you to do is, if you want to, draw a picture of a tree. That's what I had that I was hoping to give you, was a picture of a tree, because we're thinking about leaves coming out on the trees. So you guys could do that if you want. Thanks for coming up. Sorry I don't have the paper for you this morning. All right. Thanks for coming up, guys. All right. Well, as we think about, you know, the disciples reflecting on Jesus' words that the temple would be destroyed, we're in our own context. That doesn't affect us directly, as I said. But what does affect us? And, you know, as they would have been shaken up, certainly, if not by the warning that was going to happen, at least by the fact that it was happening, that really would have shaken them up. So what kinds of things can shake us up? That's maybe the question that we might want to ask this morning. We think about things going on in our world. Is it possible that sometimes election results, as that was, you know, we had a big election not that long ago, election results could shake us up. Different events, kind of violence around us sometimes. We think of shootings that happen from time to time and in different places. That could shake us up, especially if it's near where we live. There might be economic problems. Maybe it's our own finances. Maybe it's economic troubles in the world around us. We might have some of that. What about natural disasters? As we see those happening, if it impacts us directly, especially, but sometimes even seeing it at a distance, we say, "Wow, what are these things happening that are happening in our world?" Earlier in the chapter, as Jesus was talking about there being wars and rumors of wars, and these things happen, and he said, don't be disturbed by these things. The end is still coming. Don't worry about this. You won't miss it. Here we get to some bigger things, and the way that these are described are even bigger, kind of natural catastrophes. But really, at least the wording, I don't know if this is symbolism of what it will be like, or if it's actual things that are going to happen to the sun, the moon, and the stars. As Jesus is using this language, it's also figurative language. So what does it mean exactly? Signs in the sun, moon, and stars, the roaring and the tossing of the sea, people in terror in all of this, the heavenly bodies shaken. As I was first reading this and preparing today, I thought about making a comment about global climate change. And I thought if I word it just right, I could make everybody mad at me. But we won't go there. But anyway, these signs of things happening in the world. And this is what Jesus gets to. With any of these things that are happening, we could say it's worse than it's ever been. We might look back at the past and see, you know, the Black Plague, other kinds of natural disasters that happened in different places, and we say, well, maybe it's not the worst that it's ever been, but maybe it's pretty close. We see all of these things happening, and they will continue on happening. And Jesus said at that time, now he's getting to when it really comes down to the end. These things are going to be happening and going on. And then he says, at that time, they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So he anticipates the time of the end. And whatever those that end will look like, if there are particular things that will happen that will be more catastrophic than anything we ever have seen, maybe that is what's going to happen, and the world will start falling apart. If that is what happens, he says, they'll see the Son of Man coming back in a cloud with power and great glory. So whatever all the other bad things that are happening, this is something good. The Son of Man will come back in power and glory. And this is what he says about it. Well, and just to be clear, the Son of Man, he's talking about himself. That's him. That's Jesus coming back again. He says, when these things begin to take place, so if it does seem like everything is getting worse, and this is the worst it has ever been, he said, when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Now, as he talks about lifting up your heads, it's not so much lifting up and looking for him, looking for the sign. It's more like lift up your heads in confidence. Not in yourself, but in the promise that he has made. If everything seems to be falling apart, and maybe if everything literally is falling apart, even if it gets to that, he said, lift up your heads in confidence. You are not abandoned. You will not be destroyed. Even if you lose your life in this world, you have eternal life. Be confident in that. Lift up your heads with confidence. Your redemption is drawing near. Now, it's interesting. Our redemption is drawing near. We have the one sense in which the Bible tells us that our redemption is already won in what Jesus did on the cross. And yet, he also talks about our redemption drawing near. Now, drawing near does not mean that we are guaranteed it's within the next 5 minutes or the next year. But whatever the case, it is drawing near. The end is getting closer. And with the end comes the working out of our redemption. And we get to enter eternity with God. That's what happens when the end comes. And no matter how far away it is, it's still getting closer, right? We know that. Just like we're all getting older, right? We're all getting older. The end is getting closer, no matter how soon it is. The end of time is coming, but it does not spell disaster for those who are trusting in Christ. We have hope through all of this. If God promises redemption, then even great turmoil shouldn't shake us, shouldn't cause our faith to waver. And if great turmoil shouldn't cause us to waver, then certainly smaller turmoil, little turmoil, I don't know, is that a term? Smaller things in life should not bother us. Understand the signs, Jesus says. When there's trouble in this world, hope is promised, and hope is coming. Jesus then tells a parable to illustrate, to make clear what he's talking about, and how to watch for what's going on in the world. And he says, just as I was talking about with the kids, he talks about the fig tree. Now, often a fig tree can represent Israel, so Luke, especially writing to Gentiles, probably included the other thing Jesus said along with that. The other Gospels who recount this parable don't do that, but Luke does. He includes all the trees, making it clear that it's not just for Israel, but also for all of the nations. As you see the trees, as you look at the trees and you see leaves coming out, you know that summer is just around the corner. You look for those. Now, last year, we kind of got fooled, didn't we, last spring? That started happening in January. That was a little strange. And you know, the trees started acting like it was summer. Because that's what happens, right? The leaves come out, summer's arriving. It was at a weird time last year, but it still actually showed warm weather is around. Understand the times. As you see these things happening, the kingdom of God is near. So that's what he's getting at. The kingdom of God is near. Understand the signs. What are some ways that we understand the signs? We know some of these things. As we already mentioned, the leaves on the trees, it's getting close to summer. The leaves falling from the trees, it's getting close to winter. It's getting colder. You see the first slippery roads, and you know that you're going to have crazy drivers, right? That's understand the signs. You see on your calendar, you wake up in the morning, oh yeah, it's Black Friday. You know there are going to be crazy shoppers, right? Understand the signs. Understand the signs. And Jesus, and we do in many different parts of life. And Jesus is just making it so clear to us. Watch what's going on around and understand that when you see a global catastrophe, if you experience personal catastrophe, understand that this will continue till the end. But it does have an end. And Jesus talks about this generation not passing away till all these things have happened. What does he mean by this generation? Like, the first thing that comes to our mind might be that those people that were living at that time. The other things that Jesus says, though, make it clear that that's not really what he's talking about. Now, it was true for the destruction of Jerusalem, so maybe he was referring to that. But the way that he talks about this makes it sound like he's not talking about that either. So what does he mean when he talks about this generation? There are a couple different options, and all of them kind of are around the same theme. It's probably a class of people. So, but what class is he talking about? We don't really know for sure. Some suggestions are the Jewish people, that the Jewish people will continue to be a people in some way until the very end. It could be Gentiles, that there will be Gentiles coming to believe in him all the way up until the very end. It could be that evil will continue to exist. That generation is used in that way in the Old Testament quite often to refer to not periods of time, but to a series of evil people that are opposed to God. So it could be, say, especially in the context, that he's acknowledging that this evil will continue all the way up until the end. It could also be the people being saved, that the gospel will be going out and people will be saved all the way up until the very end. Well, I don't know which one of these it is. I don't think that any of us knows exactly what Jesus was talking about. But whatever the case, whether it's a good generation in a good sense or in a bad sense, the reality is that all of these things will continue until the very end. So we see these things continuing, and we know, all right, they're going on, they're continuing, but the end is coming. That's the way that we're interpreting these signs. Because then Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away. So these things will not pass away. This generation will not pass away until all these things take place. But eventually, heaven and earth will pass away. But my words will never pass away, Jesus says. The generation of the end is really now. From Jesus' return to heaven until he comes again. That's the generation of the end. And so, he may come back at any time. We don't know exactly when that will be. But we are in this generation of the end, and we know that his promise is sure, that he will come back again. So understand the signs. Look around and see what's happening in the world. Understand that the end is near. And that our hope is sure as the end comes. In the meantime, Jesus cautions of two things. Two things, or maybe two ways of looking at the same thing, depending on what he's getting at exactly. But he says, be careful. So now, we're understanding the times. The end may come at any time. We're in the time of the end. Jesus will come again. So be careful. Or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. Now, if we look at the kind of two different categories of things here, carousing and drunkenness give us the idea of being overindulgent of the things of the world, distracted with the pleasures of the world. And then we have, on the other hand, the anxieties of life, the problems that are happening, the things that come to us in this life that are problems. And in the other way, maybe we're distracted by the pleasures of this life. In this case, distracted by the worries of this life. Not thinking about God because the worries of this life are distracting us. Now, these could also go together because sometimes people find escape from the anxieties of life in the pleasures of this life or what seem like the pleasures of this life. And so it could be that really that's just a subcategory of being distracted by the anxieties of this life. We don't like the anxieties, and so we go to seek out these pleasures that we think will take them away from us. And Jesus says, don't do that. Don't let yourself be distracted like that, because that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. If we're not paying attention to the signs, if we don't acknowledge that Jesus is coming back again, if we don't, the bad side of all this is that he is coming back again. And those who have ignored his word, it will not be good for them. And it will close like a trap. So he does say, it's not good for everyone. So watch out. Those who are not prepared, who have not understood the signs, who are not trusting in him, who are distracted by worries and pleasures, the end comes for everyone, he says. Everyone will be caught up in this end of time. So, because of all this, in view of these signs, he says, be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen and that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Now, maybe as you hear those words, it sounds like he's telling you, you need to make sure that you're being strong, that you're ready, that you can stand before the Son of Man, that you have done the right things to be able to do that. But think about what he says, actually. He tells us that we should watch what's going on, understand that he's coming back, be ready to be confident as he returns, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen. Now, not necessarily that we will go through unscathed and unhurt by anything that might happen in this world, but that as it happens to us, we will not be touched spiritually, that our faith will remain strong, that it will not impact us in a negative way in our faith. And really that's tied in then, to be able to stand before the Son of Man, is simply not that we can point to how strong we were, that we were there for him, that we did that, but simply that we have, that our faith is strong, that we're trusting in him. And so when the Son of Man comes again, as we trust in him, as we look forward in hope to his return, that we can stand before him because we are trusting in him. So it's an encouragement to pray to him to keep us strong, to stand firm in our faith in spite of all the disturbing things that might be happening around us because of the hope that we have in Christ. If we see beautiful things in this world and we're tempted, like the disciples, to point to them and say, look at all these beautiful things that we have in this world. They are beautiful, and we can do that. But if we have hope in those things, Jesus is telling us we need to turn our hope to him, not in those things. And what a beautiful temple, the disciples said. We might say, what a beautiful church. Now, we don't have a big cathedral with all of the different artwork, but we do have a beautifully simple church building, I would say. It's nice. It's a nice place to worship God. We have a beautiful church family. We might say we have a beautiful country. We might have a beautiful life. And we might point to these things and say, look at how beautiful all these things are. The temple, Jesus said, would be destroyed. What about these other things that we might acknowledge as truly being beautiful? What will happen to them? Well, in the end, they will all be destroyed. The whole world will end. When will this take place? What will be the sign of this? Well, we are in the last days. If we understand the signs, we understand that Jesus' return is close. That we want to be ready for it. And we want to live in the understanding that he could come back at any time. as we look at the signs, as we understand the signs, we understand that as sure as He has told us, the destruction of the world will come, the end of time will come, even more sure than that are His words that will last through that destruction. Hope is promised. The Son of Man will return. Jesus will come again. That is true hope that we can understand and rely on. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the hope that we have in Christ. Thank You that we have a promise that really a good promise that this fallen, broken world will end. And even though we don't know what that experience will be like, we have the promise that it will be good for those who trust in the hope that You have for us. Thank You that we get to trust in that, that we get to trust that there is eternal life, that there is redemption for us, for those who are trusting in You. I ask that You would strengthen our faith in times when things are good, that we would not be distracted and stop watching out for You, and when things are bad, that we would not get discouraged, but that we would be strengthened in our hope of Your return, of Jesus' return. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.